Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Yes, schizoid, it does look like that, but it's one thing about it. Our God is totally in control, and I just want to encourage you and remind you that when you're seeing those things take place, Jesus says, look up. Your redemption draws near. Because what he talked about this. He said, nation's going to rise against nation. These things are going to happen. But he says, don't you worry about that. And so these things that we're sharing, I guess you should worry about it if you're not with God. You need to make a choice to give your life to the Lord. Now's the time to do it. I mean, it's just that simple. You got to say, you know what? I got to quit acting, like I have forever. I don't know how much time I have. You just never know. I'm going to go visit a friend of mine that whoever thought at a young age, maybe in his last moments of life at a young age. You just don't know. But it's definitely appointed once to die and then the judgment. But when we've made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, the judgment at that point, Jesus takes that on for us. And, that's the only way we can make it through that. So I just want to encourage you. But outside of that, just moving as a disciple of Jesus Christ, learning to abide with him. We always talk about, and you can see it on your screen, iabide.org. We have a simple plan for you right now. You can go there at iabide.org and request a simple plan. It's free of charge. We'll just give it to you. And begin to abide with him, because this is a time, because we have so many convenient ways to be able to hear other people who spend time abiding with God. But what if you couldn't get to those people? What if you couldn't turn on your radio or couldn't turn on your TV, or the people that you were listening to weren't abiding with God, or, you couldn't listen on your phone? Do you know how to spend time with God? We have that for you at iabide.org. John, I don't know if you read the book by Dr. James Dobson.
I haven't.
Yeah, this book's called Fatherless, and it's a powerful book. And you think about of all the things that you could call this particular generation, I think you can call it fatherless.
For sure.
There's something that you have in your life when you talk to those that have grown up without having a father in their life or having a functional father, just because there's somebody there. I mean, you also had a lazy boy chair and you had a stool, but it doesn't necessarily mean it served a purpose. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you're living absent of that person in your life. And if we wanted to have healthy fathers, you first have to have healthy sons. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's doing the best they can do. But in that, it creates this dysfunction sometimes about how we see God. And so, Dr. Dobson, the one that's focused on the family, for years, his ministry has really impacted so many people. And in this book, it's just a powerful read. You need to read it because it kind of explains today about what's taking place. What's taking place is the loss of the value of life, that life has no value anymore. And it's also tied up with, the love of money and power. And it carries you through this whole scene of seeing what's taking place from all the different dimensions of how this decision, because sometimes we're like one-sided in how we're looking at something and you can't really understand what's really going on. Unless you get from all these different perspectives, which God's perspective is the best, but he covers it. And it's just so amazing because you have a journalist in here. You have a son that is struggling with his health. You have another son that wants to go get a college degree. You got a mother who is aging. You have a politician who's working on funding for a particular project. But you also have some particular drug that they're giving people now at the end of life. Drugs. So it was amazing. These things kind of come together. You start seeing why everything matters. Hmm. Because if you looked at this whole today, what's going on in this particular book about from one issue viewpoint, you're going to miss what's going on because it's all tied together. And it begins with the quality of life that some young man wants to end his life. And he's in the hospital and he wants to end his life. He feels like he's physically challenged. He's handicapped in some ways. He feels like he can't contribute anything to life. And he thinks the only way I can finally do something good for my mother, I'm going to end my life. And they were like giving him permission. And the mother's like, this can't happen.
Don't do this.
Don't do this thing. And he's like, I can finally do something that brings meaning. And society, as he writes about in this book, was creating that kind of atmosphere that, you know, the world would be better without you and that type of thing, and burdens and that type of thing. And so to be able to do that, he had to have a particular drug to do that or something of that nature. And that was tied to like the FDA approval and some congressman and some journalist that was doing some background things, and the mother, you know, suing over my son should not have the right to take his life. And, but all of a sudden it flashes to, that, a mother was aging and as all fathers and mothers do. And, they no longer had nursing homes. They no longer had assisted living facilities.
Really?
You just go into this little place that looks like that, and then you just sign away your life. And when you sign into this thing, you're really signing away saying, you know, I agree to that. This is how I want my life to end. And they would give you this drug that was all tied into all that kind of stuff. And so you had this son. I'm probably messing the book up for you. We've got to hear this because today, this is a book that talks about today, the value of life. You know, for think how long that America said the value of children is not valuable. You can kill children. And now guess what? The very same people that went for years, you know, saying that my children are not valuable and you can kill them, now that is turning around saying the children are saying you're not valuable and we can end your life, right? And so this man is telling his mother, I mean, think about this. This man is telling his mother, he carries her to this particular place where she's hearing about all the things that they offer there, and she's kind of a little confused because of that time of her life. And her son, her grown son's going, listen, I want to go to college. And you know you always want me to go to school. You know you want me to go to school. And so if you sign this paperwork right here, if you sign this thing, then I'll be able to go to school.
Wow.
And so she's thinking, you know, and you love your kid, and so you're going back and forth with these thoughts and stuff, and she's still trying to figure out because just thinking about that just blows your mind. Because what the son was really saying, if you'll just go ahead and die already, I can take your money and I can have a successful life.
Wow.
And that's where we are today. If you really think that the way the adversary is carrying this planet and the way things are happening in darkness in a country like China, for example, that has a one-child policy, which means every other child gets killed, that we're embracing these kind of mindsets that the value of life is you're seeing life taken at a drop of a hat. You're seeing people treated like trash and treated like nothing. And that's going to be manifesting, and it is manifesting already. And then you have this healthcare, you know, government healthcare coming in to begin to manage care, you know, the Affordable Health Care Act and that type of thing. And I really believe that we should take care of our folks, but I don't necessarily think the government should be over it. Because look, you know, China, the government's over it. And in China, they say, this is how many children you can have. If you have any more than that, you got to kill the child. You know, we're not going to cover it. And they just tell you how your life's going to be. Well, look at end of life issues. They've talked about death panels. Talked about, and people that, if you base your decisions off money instead of the value of life, life has no value. Everything that has a value doesn't have a value because you're thinking money first.
But it only has a value if that life can produce economically. But once that life can no longer produce economically under that mindset, then it's no longer valuable.
Yeah, and that reminds me of Agenda 21, where a particular book that they were that was Agenda 21. Maybe it was some different book. But that you generated, the concept was that we'll give you protein, but you got to actually generate so much electricity on this treadmill.
Yeah,
type
I believe
thing.
That was Agenda 21. Oh, yeah.
And this is if you look at history, I mean, don't look at this little flash 230 years, you know, even less than that, because there was people walking on the treadmill for America, for a season of America, you know, making, you know, America economically prosperous on the back of people who America chose not to pay or give value to or give citizenship to until later on. So, but imagine that's you, and you had people walking on the treadmill of cotton, you know, producing an energy that took the cotton market over in the world. It was happening all around the place, but America was involved in that. And you go further back, and you have, you know, around, you know, Queen Elizabeth and all those different, those times, people lived like peasants. You barely made it through. Yeah. You barely, you know, eked through, you know, life. It was so difficult. And, you know, sad to say, when you think about, you know, King's College, the president of King's College,
Dinesh D'Souza,
he talks about one of the goals is to take the world back to like 14, 16 or something like that, you know, prior to, you know, to the Sunni or Shiite view, whichever one is view of the world, and that, you know, this modern technology.
We'll be right back.
In the 1970s, Malcolm Muggeridge said this: "It is difficult to resist the conclusion that 20th century man has decided to abolish himself. Tired of the struggle to be himself, he has created boredom out of his own affluence, impotence out of his own erotomania, and vulnerability out of his own strength. He himself blows the trumpet that brings the walls of his own cities crashing down, until at last, having educated himself into imbecility, having drugged and polluted himself into stupefaction, he keels over, a weary, battered old brontosaurus, and becomes extinct." Having created boredom out of his own affluence, we have become so affluent and so bored at the same time. Impotence out of his own erotomania. We have become so erotic in our proclivities and in our desires, we have become impotent to natural drives. Having created now imbecility out of our own gains, we have made so much of progress in education and yet have become so imbecilic in ordinary choices. And now ready to keel over, a weary, battered old brontosaurus to become extinct.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I do want to say, you know, we've been trying to figure out how to bring forward all the segments that we have done, are doing, and are going to do, and help you as American Christians. You know, as an American Christian, you're not a Chinese Christian, you're not an Afghan Christian, you're not a Mexican Christian, you're an American Christian. So, of course, the expectations are you need to live within the context of the law of America and the Constitution. You need to be loyal to God. And so we've got a lot of segments on that. And when you hear about civil rights, that everybody in America has civil rights. We have rights. That's the Bill of Rights. You could just say the Bill of Civil Rights. That says you have these rights. And one of them is the First Amendment, and which means you can just worship freely. You can gather without having to get a license to gather to be able to worship God. That you can have the freedom of the press, you know, the VFN TV and Daily Radio program, that we can speak out, you know, what our perception of the truth is and what's going on. And so we have added to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, another menu to bring this up, and this is the name of it. It's entitled Civil Rights and Civil Christianity in America. Civil Rights and Civil Christianity in America. And one of the greatest examples of this is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You know, I personally believe he was an apostle, just bringing what God wanted this nation to the place that it was meant to be in the beginning and getting us back to the original 10. When he says, we're just holding you to what's written on the papers. Mm. What he's saying was, it says it in the Constitution that we're all created equal. Mm. And so because the Constitution was there and we were not living up to, well, our people in history weren't living up to it, that Dr. King, as a Christian, he remained faithful to the Constitution. He remained faithful to God, and he was able to bring, by God's grace, a nation to the place that God meant it to be in the beginning. And so he's a great example. Dr. Avita King, you know, she has a brand new book called King Rules. And that's a great example of us, how we need to operate in as a Christian. And so the menu choice under the VFN Torch will bring up a lot of segments we've already done that we're going to be doing. So if you want to think, you know, how do I react as a Christian? This is what we're hoping that we're going to have even more for you. As a Christian American, not a Christian Chinese, not a Christian Mexican or a Mexican Christian, but as a American Christian, because you have the Constitution. It's legal for you to stand up and profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's legal for you to pray. It's legal for you to be able to gather at your workplace and have a Bible study. It's legal for you to do all these different things, you know, but quite often the enemy is trying to come in and give a dark narrative and say, you can't do that anymore. They're just hoping you believe that. But Dr. King set a great example. He said an unjust law is not a law at all, because it is actually, the Constitution says that it's justice for all. Everybody's supposed to be treated justly and fairly. And at that time, it wasn't happening that way. And Dr. King showed us that we could stand up like that. This is very important, because we're going to have in the series part of the VFN Torch, we have what's called the, you know, children of the night versus children of the day, organizers of the night versus organizer of the day. Understand, there are those who are being organized by God to be able to be the light in these dark times. And one good example of that was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And one of the segments are, would he even let you walk with him? Because you had 10 rules. You had to actually agree to each of these rules to be able to walk with him. And if you read those rules, in other words, it said, you got to be a Christian. You got to know Jesus. You got to spend time with him. You got to abide with him. It was an amazing thing. And look what he did. So he gave us a demonstration of how we can imitate those who have gone before us. That's what Hebrews says. We can imitate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and we can look back on his life and see. So we've got a lot of segments there available for you right now to begin to study and soak on what it's like to be a Christian in America, how to operate within your rights, not violating the Constitution, not violating the words of God, and find out that God can turn this nation back to its original intent if we follow the faith of those who've gone before us. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com. You'll see the menu, VFN Torch. It'll drop down menu, and it'll have right there, it's entitled Civil Rights and Civil Christianity in America.
We'll be right back. Are religious materials allowed to be displayed in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
There's a Christian school which is receiving money for a More at Four program for age four, and the woman who issues the money or checks to see if everything's okay said she was not allowed to put up a poster about Jesus.
Not true, and I'll tell you where this is coming from. The faith-based initiative that the Department of Education is operating under removed those kind of what we call ridiculous barriers so that faith-based groups can provide after-school care in a Christian setting, because you'd have to remove the cross from the church sanctuary or never make a reference to the Bible, and that's just not the case. So the law is very good on that. That's a misreading of it. We'll get you in touch with our legal department, Michelle, here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and get you some help right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to talk about God's generals. I want to talk about God's generals, and that it's a book that was written by, well, its title is, there's a lot of God's generals, but God's generals was written by Robert Lyrdon. The subtitle of it is, you know, why they succeeded and why some failed. And we can learn, you know, from those that have gone before us. But he talks about, there's 12 of them. He talks about John Alexander Dowie, Maria Woodward Etter, Evan Roberts. I would have called him Robert Evans. I don't know why I would have called him Robert Evans. Anyway, so Evan Roberts, Charles Parnham, William Seymour, John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, Amy Simple McPherson, Catherine Kuhlman, William Brannan, Jack Coe, and A.A. Allen. You don't have any problem. All you need is faith in God. And these are just people that their stories are so interesting, because, you know, so many, the enemy just lies to so many of us, causing us to believe that there's something that we need to do or get or become before we follow God, and the intensity of those who follow God in a way that impacted their culture or society in the past. The truth is, you know, it's just saying yes to God. And when you see these, most of these people, these generals, they call them, that they were just people just like you and me. I mean, even when James writes about, you know, about Elijah, he said he was a man like you're a man. But yet he prayed and God stopped the rain. You know, it's about us just believing God. I think about, you know, Smith Wigglesworth. And Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber, and he stuttered.
Yes.
He stuttered, and his wife was ministering. He had no problem helping his wife out. And he would actually work the altars and stuff while his wife was ministering because he just felt like he couldn't speak because he stuttered. And all of a sudden, he just got confidence, you know, that that God could use him. He began to move out, and he said, well, Lord, as long as I don't, my knees don't wear out on my pants or my shoes or something like that, I'm yours. And but he was known as a man of faith. You know, whatever God said, that's how it was. And he had, you know, the reports are he did not want any outside influence. He didn't want to hear about the media. He didn't want to hear about the news. All he wanted to know was about the Word of God. And I think about Summerall, Lester Summerall, when he was going over to visit, you know, Smith Wigglesworth. And he was coming there to his house with a newspaper under his arm. And when he's knocking on the door, Smith Wigglesworth answered the door and he said, "What's that?" And he was talking about the newspaper right there. And of course, he took it out and threw it over in the bushes. And he went into the house and they went and ate together. And they pulled the Bible out and began to read together. And it's so interesting because people think, what's the secret? It's the same secret. It's Jesus, the Word of God, man. Go after God. He loves you, He's got a plan for your life. And this radical miracles, you know, God just really worked through Smith Wigglesworth in a powerful way, a plumber that just said yes to God. And when he found out there was more that he didn't know about, he didn't care. He just went after it. He was at one particular meeting that, you know, he heard about the power of God and the Spirit of God. And somebody was there in this meeting talking about it. He just stood up in the middle of the whole crowd and said, "I want it." And he was like, oh, we just talk about it. We don't do that here. But also I think about, you know, Mariah Woodward Eddard.
Well, I'll tell you something. Mariah Woodward Eddard, there's an interesting story about Smith Wigglesworth that about his prayer life. He's so intimate with God and spent so much time in prayer that there were some ministers that wanted to come and pray with him, and they had heard the stories of his prayer life. And as reports go, that they were in this room praying, and one by one, the intensity, the glory of God, the presence of God so filled that room, but one by one, they couldn't contain it, and they had to exit this room that they were praying. Finally, this one minister staying there with Smith Wigglesworth, and the presence of God is so just dynamic, and the glory is just so powerful. He's literally crawling out on his belly because he thought he was about to die in there. He just couldn't withstand what God was doing during that time.
Yeah, God's presence was, you know, so God was so with him. The Spirit of God was so with him. And so that's something a plumber just said yes to God. He just said yes to God. And the world was changed. And it was, I thought it was pretty interesting, just staying with Smith Wigglesworth for, I guess, the rest of the program here, since not much left, is that, you know, he had his whole ministry, and he went and ministered, and God moved, and everything God says he can do, he did, and just like the book of Acts. But he had it, when he came to we felt like the end of his ministry, he went to his house, and he was getting the mail out of his mailbox, and he realized every letter in that mailbox was asking for him to come and not asking for the Lord. He realized, in his own words, is that, you know, paraphrasing, that I taught them how to come to me, but not how to come to the Lord. And whatever, how I presented the gospel, they're asking for me, Jesus. They're not asking for you. If you'll give me 7 more years, I'll change this. 7 more years. And so God gave him 7 more years.
Wow.
7 more years. And he ministered to help people understand that we're called to lead people to Jesus, not to your organization, not to you. This is a good evidence of a true prophet or a false prophet. A true prophet leads people to God, and a false prophet leads people to themselves. I mean, I got to go back and get the other word. I got to go to the person again. It's like, aren't you more in love with God after hearing?
I have to pray for you.
Yeah, right. And he realized that he wanted to lead people to Christ. He wanted them to know God. And he says, "My sheep," you know, the Word of God says, Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice and they follow me." And so he was, he took 7 years to begin to change that. I mean, think about that even today. If we begin to get that same mindset and say, you know, instead of trying to bring people to our building, organization, our denomination, our this, just bring them to Jesus.
Jesus.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah, it's powerful.
I mean, that is what we're called to do, right?
Yeah.
You know, he is the head, You know, he's the firstborn from amongst us. We, you know, we're heirs with God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's leading us. He's our shepherd. It's him that actually died for man's sin, and we're supposed to introduce people to it. It's like almost like we're ambassadors.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sent here to be able to represent the kingdom of God and our king. And so Smith Wigglesworth was a very interesting man. He believed everything that God said. He moved in it, and God backed up what he did.
Yes, he did.
In a powerful way. I mean, some of those stories that happened at some of those meetings. I mean, getting out of your box, your mindset, putting God in a box, how you think about what he can do. If you just said, God, do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want to do. And it's so important, because I think about quite often is people try to imitate somebody who has in the past, you know, been used by God, or somebody that they know, that this is the way he talks, this is how I have to talk. If this is what he reads, this is what I got to read. And then you start trying to take on their personality, and all you can be is you. Mm-hmm. And God loves you uniquely as you are. And he's not calling you to be somebody else you're not. And yes, you know, how you express your love for God and how you minister could be totally different than everybody else on the face of the earth. But God called you, and you can do you. I mean, you can do you. It's pretty, it's not hard to do you. And you may have to apologize a lot for doing
that's
you.
Right. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
That keeps us humble. Yeah. And imagine that if all the plumbers begin to say, you know, I'm going to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many plumbers do you see today that are saying, I'm going to follow God?
Yeah.
You know? Versus a lot of the skilled labor like that is sitting in the pews listening to someone that has to call them to come fix their plumbing because they don't know how to fix plumbing.
Exactly.
Right? And it's like, you can be used by God. I mean, think about that. I mean, there's so many generals talked about here. I think about, you know, Amy Semple McPherson, you know, the founder of the Four Square Church. She was the first owner of a Christian radio station in America was Amy Semple McPherson, which is Angelus Theater, which is where the Dream Center is today for
Tommy Barnett's
son.
Matthew
Barnett. He's in the building that was built for Amy Semple McPherson.
Wow.
And she didn't want to start a denomination, but they wouldn't accept her ministry because she was a woman and people were getting saved. And so they had to do something. So they started the Four Square Church.
It's like early 1900s.
Yes. And it's Angelus Theater. And we're benefiting off of her ministry today. So many people have been touched powerfully by, you know, what she just went after God. And sometimes it's important that the old move reject the new move, because if not, you'll try to blend in what God did with what God is doing, and both of them will be destroyed.
Yeah.
This is a good way to think about it. Honor what God has done, understanding that it is him, while diving in and going fully after what he's doing, because
that's
the
good.
Lord is doing a new thing. Remember, it's both, what they have in common is they're both God.
Both God.
Both God's moves, so you don't touch that. But you honor it while you just dive in after what God is saying. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless. Sheep, you know, the word of God says, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And so he took 7 years to begin to change that. I mean, think about that. Even today, if we begin to get that same mindset, say, you know, instead of trying to bring people to our building, organization, our denomination, our this, just bring them to Jesus.
Jesus.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah, it's powerful.
I mean, that is what we're called to do, right?
Mm. Yeah.
He is the head. You know, he's the firstborn from amongst us. We, you know, we're heirs with God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's leading us. He's our shepherd. It's him that actually died for man's sin, and we're supposed to introduce people to it. It's like almost like we're ambassadors.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sent here to be able to represent the kingdom of God and our king. And so Smith Wigglesworth was a very interesting man. He believed everything that God said. He moved in it, and God backed up what he did.
Yes, he did.
In a powerful way. I mean, some of those stories that happened at some of those meetings. I mean, getting out of your box, your mindset, putting God in a box, how you think about what he can do. If you just said, God, do whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want to do. And it's so important because I think about quite often is people try to imitate somebody who has in the past, you know, been used by God, or somebody that they know that this is the way he talks, this is how I have to talk. If this is what he reads, this is what I got to read. And then you start trying to take on their personality, and all you can be is you. Mm-hmm. And God loves you uniquely as you are. And he's not calling you to be somebody else you're not. And yes, you know, how you express your love for God and how you minister could be totally different than everybody else in the face of the earth. But God called you, and you can do you. I mean, you can do you. It's pretty, it's not hard to do you. And you may have to apologize a lot for doing
that's
you.
Right. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
That keeps us humble. Yeah. And imagine that if all the plumbers begin to say, you know, I'm going to do this thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many plumbers do you see today that are saying, I'm going to follow God?
Yeah.
You know, versus a lot of the skilled labor like that is sitting in the pews listening to someone that has to call them to come fix their plumbing because they don't know how to fix plumbing.
Exactly. Right?
And it's like, you can be used by God. I mean, think about that. I mean, there's so many generals talked about here. I think about, you know, Amy Semple McPherson, you know, the founder of the Four Square Church. She was the first owner of a Christian radio station in America was Amy Semple McPherson, which is Angelus Theater, which is where the Dream Center is today for
Tommy Barnett.
Tommy Barnett's son.
Matthew
Barnett. He's in the building that was built for Amy Semple McPherson.
Wow.
And she didn't want to start a denomination, but they wouldn't accept her ministry because she was a woman and people were getting saved. And so they had to do something. So they started the Four Square Church
It's like early 1900s.
Yes. And,
wow.
And it's Angelus Theater. And we're benefiting off of her ministry today. So many people have been touched powerfully by you know what she just went after God. And sometimes it's important that the old move reject the new move, because if not, you'll try to blend in what God did with what God is doing, and both of them will be destroyed.
Yeah.
This is a good way to think about it. Honor what God has done, understanding that it is him, while diving in and going fully after what he's doing, because
that's
the
good.
Lord is doing a new thing. Remember, it's both what they have in common is they're both God.
Both God.
Both God's moves, so you don't touch that. But you honor it while you just dive in after what God is saying. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.